Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. The TIFF Bell Lightbox in Toronto is launching a Century of Chinese Cinema, a mammoth series that runs all summer. And as part of the series is New Waves, that looks at the fifth generation directors in post-Mao China in the 1980s, after the Cultural Revolution. One director's work spans from the 80s to the present day, and includes such crucial Chinese films as Yellow Earth, Farewell My Concubine, and others. And I'm very pleased to have the chance to speak with the director, Chiang Kai-ge, in person at the TIFF Bell Lightbox. Chiang Kai-ge, Daoyan, ni hao.
Ni hao.
Hello. Chiang Kai-ge, Yellow Earth is a beautiful but sad movie set in 1939. A communist cadre is sent up from Yan'an to collect folk songs and rewrite them. But during the Cultural Revolution, most traditional music was banned. So what were you trying to say about traditional culture in this movie?
Well, you know, I mean, there's many things that I can tell you, although that the film was made a long time ago. Because, you know, soon we graduate from Beijing Film Academy, you know, because, you know, it's very hard for us to go to the film school at that time. It's soon after Cultural Revolution ended. So we tried to find the script. But at that time, that we were not very strong influenced by Hollywood, meaning that, you know, we hate to tell only a story. You know, we want to put our own experience, you know, the personal experience, into the film, you know. So that's the reason why, you know, we pick up the topic. I mean, the film like Yellow Earth. The Yellow Earth, you could say that, you know, is a film with a lot of different things, you know, like, you know, what we see about Chinese history, what's really happened, you know, how the Chinese peasants were locked up by the line, you know, they own. So something like that. Basically, this story about the relationship between Chinese peasants and the piece of land, the land they own. So that's why, you know, their view about this world was very limited. They tried to find a way to liberate themselves.
Okay, but the character of the cutter, this is 1939, but in 1942 in Yan'an, there were the famous Mao Zedong's forum on art and literature, which said all songs, all music, all art should help the revolution and benefit the workers and the peasants. Now, 1939 is before 1942, but were you implicitly referring to the Yan'an talks in this film, do you think?
Not really. You know, because the basic, personally, you know, I don't know that whether what Chairman Mao said was right. Maybe in during the war time, that, you know, if you could do that, you know, you use the folk song to encourage people to fight, you know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is eventually become a policy that, you know, I mean, the Communist Party encouraged people to say, hey, the art must serve people. I mean, but art is not exist for that. You know, I mean, art is art, you know. But as artist, I mean, that's great. I mean, if you could go to the local, you know, people to get some interesting folk songs, you know, I mean, to make your own music rich, that's great. But this is a sort of personal thing. I mean, you cannot make it as a party policy. I mean, you cannot say that, I mean, you should use art to serve people. I mean, what is that? I mean, I don't really understand that much.
And many people call the 10 years of the Cultural Revolution lost years. How did you locate, how did you find these traditional folk songs you used in the film?
Well, if you went to that area, I mean, in the early 80s,
right.
I mean, so many local artists are still alive. But now, most of them passed away already. So the folk songs are, I mean, we hear at that time, was really beautiful, you know, because you just feel like you forgot something called professional skill as a singer. I mean, you just feel that you are touched immediately, you know, by the song. And you are touched. I mean, the song just reach your heart.
Yes,
I mean,
it
make you feel like, you know, you want to ask yourself, I mean, why I was touched. You know, the voice is so powerful and beautiful. And you know where the song came from? You know, I don't want to give you an abstract answer to say that it's from their heart or something. It's from life. From hardship
bitterness.
Of their life. Yeah, bitterness. Beautiful.
Yes, very beautiful. Especially in the 80s, the politics swung from left to right and back again. Did you face criticism for this film within China?
Well, they caused some of them, you know, I mean, the who are in charge of the business at that time, call us troublemakers, this, the fifth generation directors.
Right.
This is what I heard from the person who was the head of Film Bureau at that time, that he said, if I wasn't in this position, that I won't go to see your film.
Oh.
I said, well, in what sense that you don't like the film? He said that, what a story you are trying to tell. There is no story at all. You know, I mean, we just, I said that I don't want to argue with you. You know, I mean, this is a new cinema, which you don't know, you don't understand. You know, I mean, I was so regret that I said that to him, because that he was one of my father's friends, that I shouldn't say that to him, you know. But the things have changed, like 5 years later, that, you know, he came to the crew, I mean, you know, the whole bunch of people, and he just said that I didn't really understand your first film in the beginning, but now I understood a little bit about what you're trying to say, because I said that it's not because the film is great. I mean, you could say that although that we've been studying in the film school for 4 years, that we cannot really call ourselves a professional filmmakers. The film is good only because you could see our heart in the film.
And did winning the Palme d'Or at Cannes, did that help you within China or just internationally?
Well, never say that to win a Palme d'Or is a bad thing.
Of course. You know?
but maybe, you know, I mean, that statue, you know, led me to a wrong direction.
Interesting.
Which means, it causes a question like, you know, I mean, how you survive your own success. Which direction you want to go, and are you still the same one that when you started to do your first film? You know, this is the question that later on I asked myself. And people just kept saying that, oh, you are a master. You know, I mean, you can do everything you want, which is not true. You know.
So skipping ahead to the 90s, you made a film, a very famous film in the West, Farewell My Concubine, about two actors, male actors. One plays a female role. And while the characters fall in love, they also fall in love in real life. At the time, homosexuality was illegal even in Hong Kong and in China. What was the reception? How were you able to make a film like this in China?
Well, it's a long story. It's really, you know, hard to make this film. But I was very lucky that at the end, although that, you know, the people are proud that this is the first Chinese film got Palme d'Or and so on. But officially, it was banned in China. I mean, before, soon after, you know, the award-winning ceremony in Cannes, that I was told that the film was banned, but the things, you know, I mean, just turn on to the positive direction, because Deng Xiaoping himself watched the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so he gave the green light to the film, to the release of the film in China.
Oh, so it was released
in China? Yeah, it was released in China. So that's why I was saying that I was very lucky.
And how was it received by the general public, do you think?
They loved the film. I must say that, I mean, they don't really see that as a film about homosexuality, but they like the characters. You know, I mean, they say that they're convinced that this is what happened in the past, and that they're sort of inspired by particularly Leslie Cheung's character. You know,
the late love the film. Leslie Cheung, very sad. Yeah. Your most recent film is Caught in the Web, that played TIFF last year.
Yes.
About a woman who gets in a terrible situation when her story is picked up by social networks. But you yourself have 1.7 million followers on China Weibo. So is social networking in China, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Or
well, we must see the positive side, you know, of the website activities. You know, I mean, I must say that people find a way to express themselves, you know, by speaking on a website. I mean, this is great. I mean, people, but more or less that remind me of Cultural Revolution. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to correct yourself before you get on the website. I mean, no one can say that. But I don't know. I mean, in my film, I just feel like, you know, people, this is a part of a human nature that the people, human beings, always try to find someone whom they can attack, no matter what. You know, if you are unlucky that you, next one will be your turn. I mean, you become the one that people want to attack. Maybe, you know, who knows? This is the general saying. You know, I mean, but I have seen so many things, you know, happened. You know, I mean, I call this the cyberbullying. You know, I mean, it really happened in China.
And finally, speaking of attacks or controversial statements, Ang Lee, the Taiwanese director, recently said mainland China has a good film market but does not have good films, and some film directors are narcissistic. What do you think of his statement?
I never heard about that, but I really want to say that, you know, no matter what, you know, I mean, we do the things that we believe right to do. I mean, you know, that's the same.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking with me, Cheng Kaige.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with the renowned Chinese director, Cheng Kaige, whose films are being showcased all summer as part of the TIFF Bell Lightbox program, A Century of Chinese Film. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.